Welcome, everyone. Good morning. My name is Jerry. Welcome to the Unity Center of Positive Living.
Whoa!
Okay. Thank you. And wherever you are on your faith journey, we're glad you could join us this morning. And hope everything is fruitful for you. We will launch into our welcoming song. Please stand if you like. And the song is I Believe in Us, led by the Merkers.
And you're on a step. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so you have a step to take.
Yes.
All right. Are there any announcements? I know that next week is a an important day for our church because we will have a meeting after our food tomorrow or next week, and we'll be discussing the future of our church, kind of a historic meeting, I believe.
Anyone else? Yeah, this week, if you're an active member, you should have received the agenda and a letter from the board. If you didn't, let me know and I'll make sure you get a copy of it.
I haven't so far, but I never checked my mail on Saturdays.
It came out on Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
It went out last Wednesday.
Well, maybe I didn't get it. Okay, any other announcements?
Yes, we are going to be renting our house in Centralia. So if you know of anyone looking for a good house that's 3-bedroom, 2-bath, in Fords Prairie area, let us know.
Where are you presently going?
We're gonna go to Olympia.
I see. Yeah. And have you already been there or gone or?
We lived in Olympia over 20 years.
I know, but have you, are you
no.
there now or?
Moving at the
no.
end.
Of
the
oh,
month. Yeah.
Pretty, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have an announcement. Fourth Sunday in April, the Circle America Book and Film Discussion Group is discussing a film called The Man Who Knew Infinity. And it's, I don't know how many people have ever seen the film or read a book, but it's about a man from India who went to the United Kingdom to study and publish, who was a brilliant mathematician. Oh. And it's about his journey bringing forth his competence in that culture. And the things he went through. A Man Who Knew Infinity. It's a fascinating
nice.
Discussion and film. So I highly recommend if you get a chance to find it. If you're on our mail list, you've gotten a notice about it. But certainly somebody at Unity, Beth, I think, has gotten a notice about it. So it will be on the Facebook page, maybe.
Yeah,
of Unity.
On Facebook and in next week's newsletter.
Yeah, fourth Sunday in April from 3 to 4:30 Pacific time.
How do you, is that about a film?
It's a discussion of a film.
Okay, and which means you have to read or see the film, right?
Well, it would be great if you saw the film before, because we're not showing the film
oh.
on the Zoom. We're discussing the learnings that we can gain about ourselves and other cultures and how to transform things.
Okay. Join me, please, with a Unity statement. Is it up?
Yep.
Okay. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious for oneness in God. There is only one presence and one power active as a universe and as my life, God the good. Okay. We will sing now Surely the Presence.
Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Feel the mighty powers and the grace. I can feel the rush of angel wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of God's love is in this place. Surely
the Daily Word, and today's Daily Word is assurance. I live with assurance of my divinity. There have been many times I doubted my ability to create the life. I doubted my ability to create the life of my highest imaginings and resign myself to living a limited life. Today I make a new choice. I see myself as fully divine and fully human. I am so much more than my past. Even if I have made regrettable decisions or disempowering choices, I have the assurance that with each new day, I can make begin again and build the life I want to live. As I pray, I feel the limitations of the world fall away. In the silence, I feel the presence of God and the fullness of my divinity. This is my enduring truth of who I am. I affirm I am strong, I am creative, I am wise. I live the past, let the past behind, and eagerly create my future, assured of my eventual success. And by this, this is from John, 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he is in us, because he has given us his spirit. Okay. We will now launch into gratitude share. Does anyone have anything that they're especially thankful for that happens last week or so?
I'm grateful for something coming up, because I'm taking my grandsons camping on Wednesday for part of their spring break, so I'm looking forward to
it. Oh, wow. Where are you going?
We're going to Concrete, Washington, Rouser State Park.
Oh.
So, and I'm mostly grateful I found a deluxe cabin for us to stay in that has a bath for a minute. Because I got three toddlers, so.
Nice.
Okay. Does anyone else have anything to share this morning?
I'm just grateful for the change of weather, the sunshine and all the flowers. And...
Yes.
Yeah.
So am I. spring is an uplifting time for one's spirit, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll do the song of joy, Rise If You Like. It's called Let It Be, one of our favorites. And of course, the markers are going to lead us.
Lean on me or let it be?
Let it be.
I screwed up. I got lean on me.
Oh,
it's
okay.
So I guess we're going to do our best.
It's all right. People know the chorus of this one, anyhow. Let it be.
Beatles' last songs, I believe. Yes. They sang, I think. But who knows?
Well, we would be the Beatles generation.
Right. Yes. My parents were.
All right, we're going to launch into our reading and not letting Mike rest. Mike Merker will give us the reading. I heard a rumor it might be about love. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to this reading.
Yes, all right. So I've got this book here, this little book called How to Love by Thich Nhat Hanh. And I am going to just read one or two of these. They're very short passages. This one is called Loving Mindfully. Love is a beautiful word, and we have to restore its meaning. When we say, I love hamburgers, we spoil the word. We have to make the effort to heal words by using them properly and carefully. True love includes a sense of responsibility and accepting the other person as she is with all her strengths and weaknesses. If you only like the best things in a person, that is not love. You have to accept her weaknesses and bring your patience, understanding, and energy to help her transform. This kind of love brings protection and safety. And here is another one entitled Non-Discrimination. In true love, there's no more separation or discrimination. Happiness, his happiness is your happiness. Your suffering is his suffering. You can no longer say that's your problem. In true love, both happiness and suffering are no longer individual matters. You are him and he is you. In a good relationship, we are like two fingers of the same hand. The little finger doesn't suffer from an inferiority complex and say, I'm so small, I wish I were as big as the thumb. The thumb doesn't have a superiority complex saying, I'm more important, I'm the big brother of all the fingers, you have to obey me. Instead, there is a perfect collaboration between them. And I will do one more. Joy is healing. If a relationship can't provide joy, then it's not true love. If you keep making the other person cry all day, that's not true love. Offer only the things that can make the other person happy. You should know the real needs of that person. Practice and learn how to generate a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness with your in-breath, your out-breath, and your steps. If you have enough understanding and love, then every moment, whether it's spent making breakfast, driving the car, watering the garden, or doing anything else in your day, can be a moment of joy. All right. That's probably good.
Great.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, give us something to ponder. All right. I think we'll do the affirmations. If you'll join me together, I am a joyous being of light. I am the love of God and expression. I am grateful for all that I am. I am one with the abundant nature of the universe. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am at peace, knowing that everything I need comes to me in the perfect time and the perfect way. Okay, we are ready for our speaker. Our speaker today is Daria Fuentes. I don't know if I said that correctly. But she has been addressing our church for 20 years. And we're certainly happy and enjoy, and we always enjoy and learn a lot from Daria Excellent. So I'm gonna give it to you, Dory.
Dory.
Up here.
Good morning. Well, on this gorgeous spring day, one of the things I'm grateful for, we had 70 degrees yesterday in Mossy Rock up there on the mountain, Green Mountain, where I'm living. It was awesome. I just kept going outside. I had many things to do inside, but I kept going, wanting to be outside so I could make one more pitch to learn something from the grass or the trees or the ants or the whatever was going on. So I'm very grateful for just that day of bright sunshine in the midst of whatever chaos we're experiencing, or whatever uncertainty we may be experiencing, whatever doubt we may be holding. And because we can stand in that and see sometimes more clearly what is possible. We can see more clearly what our potential is collectively and as individuals. My series this year is Be Spiritually Alive in 2025. And when I get into it for a minute, it may sound redundant, because the question is, spiritual and alive, aren't those the same things, right? And so, but be spiritually alive in 2025, I'm saying, so that we wake up to what it means to be alive. And the emphasis is on spiritual, you know, to be alive, to be eternal, because that's what our journey here is about this eternal life. And embracing that, embodying it, and living it out. So to last time I was here, first Sunday is the Sunday I've been speaking at Unity for a while. And I emphasize the power of the word. The power of the word and how we, with our mouth, create reality, and collectively and also individually. And that continues, but the emphasis and focus today for me is, what will we do with our divinity? What will we do with our divinity? To acknowledge first that we are what? Part of creation. We are creator's creation. And we co-create with creator. As part of this creation, that is part of what the breath of life that comes through us, always, all times. So the power of not just what we speak, which we talked about a lot first Sunday, March, but also what we feel along with those, and how we see what we see. What our thoughts are, what our assumptions are, what our beliefs are. We're constantly bringing from the depths of the unconscious up to the conscious to be aware of, and that's that highest state of awareness, to be conscious of our consciousness. To be aware of how this reality that we're experiencing is part of what's been in our hearts, what's coming out of our mouths, what it is that we're thinking, what we may not be acknowledging that we have as underlying assumptions and fears. Ancient African scholars, long before the advent of Christianity, and long before the coming of Yeshua ben Joseph, also known as Jesus the Christ, understood this same thing, that Creator hands out parts of Creator in all of creation, in all of life, in the grasses, in the stones, in the mountains, in the trees, in the dogs, in the elk, in the human being. That certain gifts and talents are there for all of us. And as Mike was just talking about, it's not about
who's superior to whom. Let us not get lost. We've lost the thread sometimes because we're focused on who's superior to whom. And that takes many, many forms. These ancient scholars in Africa, throughout many parts of Africa actually, understood that each person is born with a Messiah and a Judas, for example. Basically, each person is born with that immanent, omnipresent, omniscient, the Creator, is born with the manifestation of the Word made flesh. Each person, we have that within us, right? And we see that also in the Bible, that if this is who we follow, the Daily Word says today, you have assurance of your divinity. That Jesus, the Word made flesh, lives within you, abides, dwells, is there. And so by this understanding, by this belief, by this willingness to surrender to that Creator within us, to take up more and more mansions. In my house, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. In many mansions, many realities, many different structures and constructs in the universe, or right in here, each one of us is born with everything we need to both express and magnetize reality within and without. What's this other part? This other part has a part to play. We can say whether it's Judas or whatever character in the evolution, the formation, the advancement of our consciousness. Who plays a part? What is the doubt? Maybe I have the message. Maybe I got a vision. Maybe I had a goal. What is the doubt? What is the uncertainty? What is, who is, who do I see as the betrayer or the enemy? The one who opposes me in the board meeting, the one who opposes me when it comes to the election ballot, the one who opposes me in any good debate, the one who's not giving me the loan I applied for, the one who is giving me a grade much less than I thought I deserved. Who is the opposer? Who is the enemy? Well, Jesus gives us this spiritual jujitsu and says, love thine enemy. Well, any good warrior society will tell you, that sounds a little stupid. What's the point? Right? Well, part of the point is if we're looking at not wars about just geography and who's going to oppress who and who's going to take whose culture and who's trying to wipe whom out. But if we're looking at war at a spiritual level, if we're looking at that, spiritual jujitsu is very important. Love thine enemy. About 40 years ago, I changed that to love thine inner me. Because I was looking at whatever I'm seeing or whomever I'm seeing or experiencing as the enemy, I've got to also look at that within myself. So what role are they playing? What role are they playing? If they're against whatever I'm trying to do, does that evoke fear in me? And if it does, what do I do with that fear? What do I do? I had a vision, as some of you know, a series of visions in the late 80s and early 90s about this land, coming out here and getting this land in Mossy Rock. So it's a vision. Okay, there's the Messiah, the vision within. What do I do? Do I have everything laid out? Do I know how everything's going to happen? Do I know where the money's going to come from? Do I know where the jobs are going to be? Do I know where the contracts are? Do I know where the land even is, really? No. I knew certain things because Spirit showed them to me. Psalm 25:12 points out, if Spirit has brought you this vision, if the Lord has brought you a vision, then we have to trust what? That the way will be shown. Well, excuse me, but I'd like to have the dream, wake up, see all the details, have the list, the GPS directions. They weren't, GPS wasn't even here for me then, right? I'd like to have all that kind of laid out and organized so that I can follow this and I know what time I'm going to get there. And for most people, that's called a plan. So many people who I knew well thought I was a little crazy, jumping up, getting suitcases and coming out to the Pacific Northwest to first find an apartment that I'd also been shown in a vision. And the people who would help me do that, find that particular apartment, were people I met when I came out here on invitation to speak at the Goodwill Games that same year. I came in July, and in November, when I came again to travel with people to the Soviet Union on a mission to help with the changes that were coming about, going to come about, I found the apartment the day before I left. I didn't have doubt at that time about the apartment or would I find it. I just happened to find it and I was thrilled, you know, because I had a home. So I hadn't given up my home, right? So I hadn't jumped totally off the cliff into possibly the abyss, but still, I didn't have the specifics, and when I found the, that's confirmation, that's strengthening, that's encouraging you to follow what Spirit showed you. I found the exact place, exact. And I went on about my business. Then when I proceeded to attempt to get this, find this land, I found lots of land that was not this land, and I began to disinvest in what I had been shown, thinking, oh, well, I like this over here, and I like that over there, and I like that. But I persisted until I found the actual land I had been shown in the vision. That was such a beautiful, powerful confirmation that I was like, you think that I'd then be set, that I wouldn't be questioning anymore, that it would be all Messiah. It would be within me all truth and acceptance, all vision embodied and all faith and all obedience. But no, the promise is not that there won't be trouble. Did God tell Moses there wouldn't be trouble getting out of Egypt, getting out of bondage and into Israel? Was there a promise that there wouldn't be trouble for Jesus? Was there a promise that everybody would go along with the program and agree? What gets in the way? Your own doubt. And if we're doing something collectively, sometimes the doubt of others. So it's important, unity. As you look at whatever the vision was, unity was pursuing, have you come, is the vision ended? Some visions end because you achieved it. Have you fulfilled the vision? And if you have not, Scripture tells us, write it and make it plain. It may tarry, but it will come. It may not be on your time. Part of the process of working with this spiritually being alive is that whatever the vision is, it lives within you until it unfolds into physical reality. Until you have laid the cornerstone to whatever that vision is, until you have been shown what the structure is that will help it live and breathe. Until it sits in front of you in three-dimensional reality, it lives in your mind, in your heart, in your thoughts, so that together, how you think about it, how you speak about it, and what you do about it can be all in alignment. What gets in the way of all of that? That's not the Messiah. Is it the, sometimes it's the doubt. And I told you, if you can wake up in the morning and start erasing the doubt, right? Start moving it out of the way. Ask, where do we need to be in alignment? How are we not in alignment? Because we'll have people that sit among us, friends. Sometimes we enlist them in our script of working out this vision. We enlist them to bring in the doubt. Well, you know, there's vision, and then there's like, you know, your bill is due on the 30th, okay? Like you don't know your bill is due on the 30th. And what are you going to do? One time I asked Spirit when I ran out of money, because visions are great when you've got lots of money to throw at it, but when you don't have the money to throw at it, then what do you do? And there were times when Spirit told me exactly what to do. They said one time, trees. I'm like, what about the trees? You know? So, you know, a few years into some challenges, there were some trees that they told me to, what trees not to take and what trees to take. I did, and I was like, wow, isn't that fascinating? So there was a whole thing. I didn't know anything about, you know, business and trees. I know about business, but my consulting business. This evolution that we have will put us into areas where we don't know what we're doing, where we feel like we have no competence, where we feel like this is not what I signed up for. This is not my training. This is not my skill set. I know how to do this. And we try to stay in this little box. But all of a sudden, Spirit has something else in mind. Well, okay, you're going to learn how to do this. You're going to grow with this. I'm like, okay. So this came with the land. So learning something about trees. All right, fine. I'll do that. But there are other times when I didn't have a way to move. And I'm like, I didn't ask for all this trouble. I didn't need all this crisis. You know, you run into financial crisis. You can't afford your car. You sell your car. It's very simple. If it were not for the Messiah and the message and the spiritual guidance that brought me from this place to this land, I would have packed up and moved right on. It's like, ooh, this was fun. I had a good time, you know. Next. But because of that guidance, and because the Lord said, no, I said, well, it must be time for me to go because I ran out of money. No. I could not believe how many different ways Spirit expected me to move in order to follow and keep in sync with the promise. Because I had some other rules and laws within myself, other than the spiritual guidance and the promise and the vision. I had some other little operating things. Can't pay for it, get rid of it. If you can't pay for it, keep it. If you want it. I mean, just these other operating things. So staying with the vision took me into an area where I had to deal with guilt, had to work, burn through your guilt, burn through any sense of shame, burn through, oh, it's going to become public that I'm having this financial crisis. Oh my God. Never had that. You know, I had the history. I remember when I was 17, I came home from my summer job and my parents had a moving truck outside the house. They had lost the house. I had no idea that we were going through such a crisis because they hoped that at the last minute, something would happen and they'd be able to. They were people of faith. And at the last minute, something did happen. Somebody provided another house that was better than the house we had, okay? And which they then lived in until one or both of them crossed, okay? Crossed over many years. But I was shocked, and that shock turned into fear. The moment I ran into some trouble, I had some fear that, oh my God, I have to do something quick because I can't have that happen again. I can't go through that. And I was a 17-year-old going through that process, right? So sometimes what spirit is doing for us, and also what the enemy is doing, is participating in us growing confidence and clarity about whether the vision is now been made real and we're done and it's time for a new vision, or whether the vision still needs to go on and we just ran out of what? Faith, possibly out of obedience, or it's time to let go. And I'm telling you, I asked many times, is it time? No. So we have to move whatever obstacles are in our way out of knowing what Spirit's will is for us, collectively and individually, in any group we're in, any vision, any goal, so that we can be on it. Because that's when that expansion of you as creator and creator, co-creator with creator, takes place and things begin to occur simultaneously. And you know, you did not per se go and make that particular thing happen, but it was your consciousness and the promise of Creator to take you to wherever that promise is, whatever that vision is. So being spiritually alive means we've got spirit eyes, spirit ears, spirit heart, and we look into our hearts and see where am I the betrayer? Where am I the doubter? So it's not just the doubter and the betrayer that sometimes get in our way, it's the liar. Where am I the liar? Okay, because the other part of us, what Spirit is putting us, and what the Messiah is bringing us is more and more revelations about truth, wisdom, love, so that we can do the spiritual jujitsu, so to speak, in any situation. One day, in the middle of one of these crises, a group of business people who I had noticed a letter from, and the letter kind of lit up among other letters. And so I said, oh, I'll call these people because it lit up. And I called. They came, showed up in a helicopter. They wanted to buy the property for 1 year. Long story short, we came up with three brilliant business deals that allowed them to buy it for 1 year, allowed me protections about what they would and wouldn't do in buying it. And while we were having all this discussion, I was laughing and cracking jokes. And one of the guys said, we've been in a lot of these discussions, but we've never been in a discussion with somebody that's laughing. We've been in discussions with people who are crying or weeping, feel like that. What gets in the way? It was cosmically funny to me that I have a date on the courthouse steps to auction this property. And these people come in, and while I'm talking to them, we come up with these three deals that in their mind, they're gonna win because they said she's probably not gonna, you know, resolve this in a year, you know. But in my mind, it was just, look at God, look at Creator, look at the creation and the things that are happening and the timing. Look at how I got the tension on this letter. It's not something I would, if somebody just walked up to me and said this, I probably would have said no. But in the process of having the discussion and the dialogue, Spirit was talking to me. So I went out on the land, and then the trees started talking to me. Spiritually alive. They were moving like bamboo sticks, making a drumming invocation. They were touching each other. This guy had offered, he wanted to only buy alder. And the alder trees, some of which were old and plentiful on this land, were touching each other. When I went and sat in the woods, and I was like, wow, okay, so the trees blessed it, so I said, okay. Because the song I was singing was, because Spirit kept telling me no, you know, when I said, okay, I can move by, you know, no. Kept telling me no. So I said, well, I better sing the other song, like a tree standing by the water, right? I shall not be moved. Instead of like, you know, time to go, I'm singing another song in prayer because that's the guidance I received, not because I needed it otherwise. So when we sometimes are attached to ego, personality, habit, and that happens to all of us, whether we're in a church or a temple or a synagogue or a sweat lodge fire, there's something that we may be attached to that we're paying more attention to than we are to the vision. What will we do with our divinity? With our divinity, with the creator within us, with the promise for the vision, with the guidance on Spirit's time, not on your time. I had to have enough time to do nothing in my mind. It wasn't really nothing, but it seemed to me I was doing nothing because Spirit said, do nothing. I said, well, I can't do this because this, and I can't do that because that, and do nothing. You gotta be kidding. What I'm doing, so even in that doing nothing, quote unquote, I was doing something. I was preparing, I was creating structures, I was looking at what the promise was, what kind of structures and organizations could support that. I was doing something, but I wasn't fixing it. What I saw was the problem. When Spirit comes along and brings and provides the resources for the so-called problem, I was still there. Left to my own personality, I would have been gone. Do you get what I'm saying? Left to my own personality, I would have long been gone. So the doubter has something to do. The doubter, you know, you can start looking at how to neutralize the doubter, how to neutralize the one who is afraid to follow. I wasn't afraid all those other times when I jumped on the plane and brought my suitcases and did this. I wasn't afraid when I finally, it took me 2 years to find a place and 3 years to get it. I worked through my fear. I wasn't afraid. But when I got to the part of running out of money, oh, promise you, the Spirit knows a way to get you to deal with what may be buried fear, what may be buried doubt, if it's there. And it was only hitting those things that made me burn through the remaining, I'm materially alive, but maybe not fully spiritually alive. When I had to sit and do nothing at some level, it wasn't really nothing, but, and wait on God. Wait on Spirit, wait for the answer, wait for the moment and the timing when I could be ready fully. That's when it came. That's when the help came. That's when I was able to do what needed to be done to move forward in that arena. So the promise is here. The vision is here. What will you do with your divinity? Will you go up against an unjust law? Will you spend your time trading insults with somebody who you feel is disrespecting and insulting you? Or will you use spiritual jujitsu? Are you attached to the way things ought to look? The way I like to do things is this, this, and this, and this is what you do. These are your personal laws. These aren't necessarily the laws of spirit that go with the vision you've been carrying. Know the difference? Yeah. So spirit is saying one thing, and you may be following something else. So this is not about all our personal rules. Well, I gave more money than anybody else, and therefore they should do what I want to do. Well, I gave more time than anybody else, and therefore they should do what I want to do. I think it's a beautiful thing that this committee, this board, this community came from a small group of folks who wanted to study together and who grew into a church that had lots of growth and activity and things happening every day, every night. And that it is where it is now, full of peace and love, looking for its next door. Will you go out like the ancient Africans said? They saw the potential of humanity as creating a world of creators. A world of creators who are co-creators with creators, conscious creators who are conscious of their consciousness. Are you gonna go out as disciples about being conscious about our consciousness individually and collectively? Are you going to restart this with a new freedom and not attachment to the way you've always done things? Or are you going to be in other places making things happen and knowing that this is your foundation and this is your root? It's a beautiful thing to wait on spirit to bring you the vision. Go into the wilderness, have a vision quest, have a amblechiabi, have a dream that comes from spirit. Be willing to fast and pray until the vision comes to you in consciousness, and then have the courage to move forward without the doubt, to be obedient without the fear, and above all things, to love the inner me and to love one another, because those who hate the others are not abiding, no matter what they say, in Jesus. No matter what, by these fruit we shall know one another. And Spirit will give us and is giving us these gifts. They're saying, we have given you a life. We have given you the tools. We have given you the knowledge and information. Now go and live it. Not talk about it, but live it. Walk the vision out. Make it real. Stay in prayer. It is a living God. It is a living guidance. It is a living direction, so that we can see that sometimes our suffering is of our own creation, and that once I embrace the enemy within me and also do what I can to express the love at the highest level of consciousness, there is no difference between the love of friend and the love of foe in the highest levels of consciousness. You may want to strangle whoever it is you decided is the foe. Give them a good shake up. My sister and I used to joke about, can we give a shake death? Is that such a thing? No, it's not nice. We won't do that. It was just like a metaphor of saying how frustrated we were about something, right? If you're going to give a shake, make it engaging or neutralizing the inner doubter, the inner scaredy cat. Because these challenges are the ones that grow the muscles of you, me, him, her, as creator, and creator for the good. Creator is creating with love. Creator is not creating with, let's wipe out these people. And so it is. Thank you. Let's meditate. Deep breaths from the center of the earth up into the highest of the heavens. We come here to you today. Deep breath, feeling, breathing in the power of our divinity, having a human experience with our divinity, inspired and excited to express our divinity with our love within ourselves and beyond ourselves, to friend and foe alike. Inhale. As we embrace the light of God fully,